I'm also recording. Sick.
Hello, welcome back to the Projection Podcast, episode 7. I hope you've been enjoying the series so far and you're learning, listening, and just enjoying it.
I'm excited to keep enjoying them. We had Louis Parkinson on last episode, so if you've not listened to that, you should. It's a good episode, interesting guy, and yeah. Very good listen.
It is big man Captain Cutlass.
Yeah, bro, we learned a lot. I think he was talking about building his brand, and yeah, we spoke about a lot of things. So yeah, funny guy as well. So yeah, definitely worth going back and watching that.
Yeah, and you said to me, you're like, when Hamish was editing the podcast last episode, he was like, "Oh, Max, you didn't really speak that much." I was like, "What? They're not." And it's just because I was like, Louis was saying some interesting stuff, and I was just there, and I was just like, I didn't expect some of the words to come out of his mouth, you know? I'm not gonna lie. And I was just like, fuck, and I was just taking it in. And yeah, sometimes that happens.
No, it's good. Yeah, it's also hard when there's two hosts a little bit. Like, sometimes we don't know who's gonna speak or answer his questions, but I think it worked out well. Like, we both had some insight and asked some good questions to him, and he asked some good questions to us. So yeah, worth that. And yeah, next week we are looking to have another GB team climber on, who's a really interesting guy and has a lot to share. So yeah, keep refreshing, like looking at our Instagram, and we'll post about who it is, and that should be out next week, probably midweek, Wednesday or Thursday. So yeah,
Yeah, man. Another up and coming star who is coached by the same coach as us. So that would be good.
for sure. And this episode, I had some questions for Max and stuff that I've written down that I want to know, like, and I think would be helpful for everyone listening to know. So yeah, my first question, which we spoke about a little bit, is for an elite athlete like yourself and myself, how important do you think it is to be a little bit selfish and self-centered and sacrificing stuff like seeing your family, speaking to friends, all of that? Like, how important do you think that is to be where we are today and to achieve what you want to?
Yes, I think like it's for me, and I think you'll agree, like it's super important to do and make really hard decisions and just be selfish and do things in life for yourself. Because for me, it's like today I was listening to Mark and Ellie, and they were going out for like a 4 hour run, and then they were like deciding to take the dog with them, little Alva, if that was going to slow them down or not. And then, but if they don't take it out, then she won't get better and be able to go on these long runs. So Mark was just like, yeah, family first, so dogs first, and then running. So they took Albert out, and I was just sitting there in the kitchen eating my porridge, and I was just thinking, I was like, fuck, family first. And I was like, I thought about that in my head, because with all this quarantine stuff going on, and I'm not in Scotland with my family in Aberdeen, I moved down to Leeds to stay with Mark for a bit, and I'm training in Leeds at the moment. And it's like, to stay down here instead of going back up to spend time with my family in the pandemic could be considered pretty selfish. But for me, it's like, it has to be done if you want to be an elite level performer and get the best out of yourself. Because if I go home for like 2 months or what, however it is, and I'm not able to train like I am down here, and then for me it's just a waste, and I won't be happy, and I won't be enjoying myself.
Yeah, you don't really want to sacrifice your entire life for other people. Well, I don't anyway. Although some people see it like your goal in life is to help other people. And obviously, yeah, you want to not inhibit other people's lives, not be a burden on anyone. But I think if you're spending your entire existence dedicated to people other than yourself, then it's kind of a waste, even if you do marginally improve someone else's life, like being at home I'm sure it is nice for your dad, and I'm sure he misses you and you miss him. But that is just something that you have to learn to deal with if you're wanting to have these greater goals of being the best climber in the world. Like, you can't really have both easily. You're always going to have to make tough decisions like that.
Yeah, my dad used to say that to me as well. Like, I'd be like, oh, I want to go out with my friends, or I want to go out and like late at night, and they would be out drinking or doing stuff like that. And he's just like, you can't have it both. You can't have a social life and be a professional athlete. And I was just like, at the time, well, he didn't. Yeah, he said you can't have a social life and do your training. Now at the time, I didn't really understand or listen as well as it did, but now it's so clear, and he's just, yeah, he was right at the same time, and I guess that falls into that social life as well. But like you said, you don't want to sacrifice your whole like existence for these goals, but then again, you have to make big decisions, which is what life is, isn't it?
Yeah, and family members like your dad, who obviously cares a lot about you, will completely back your decision, I'm sure, because he wants what's best for you, as you've just really described there. He was already making those hard decisions for you, and I'm sure in this situation, he would rather you do what's best for yourself, because that's kind of the role that he has, and anyone who really appreciates you is going to want what's best for you, not necessarily what's best for them. If it's something like this, your dad's not going to be thinking, oh, I wish Max was here, he's made a bad decision. Like, of course he's going to be supportive.
Yeah, I feel like him and my brother both, like, just my family, like, really stick by my decision of staying down here as well. Because after Quiff, it was like we'd just been competing against like Japanese, USA, like, there's heaps of international competitors. And this was when the virus was just getting like announced, and everyone was a bit unsure with how dangerous it was or whatever. So we went to compete, and then there was no crowd, but still, there's a big chance that we could have got it. And then if I had my train booked to go up to Aberdeen the next day to see them, for like a week or two, but yeah, I was like, I better not go, because if I give it to my dad, who's like 66, it would not be good for him, as he's not like that fit either. And yeah, just the lifestyle and that virus would not mix, and same with my brother, as he's got cystic fibrosis. So like, staying down here is the best decision for them and me, to be honest.
Yeah, for sure. So it is, like, coming back to the question, I would say important to be selfish to some degree. Like, that is a selfish decision that you made, but not necessarily in a bad sort of way. It's not a decision that you're making because you're neglecting what other people are thinking. It's carefully considered pros and cons of going back home, and with the support of family, it's made so it isn't such a selfish decision. It's made easier for you to make because you're not feeling guilty about not being down there. You're dealing with the decision based on the circumstances. So whilst, yeah, obviously you are going to sometimes have to make tough decisions like that and selfish decisions like that, I think people will understand it if they really understand you.
Yeah, if they actually like, yeah, like you said, if they really understand you and care about you, then they would understand and want the best for you. And that's the type of people you want in your life, isn't it? Like the friends or your partner who, because I've got a girlfriend who lives in Aberdeen, and it's like, yeah, I've not seen her in like 4 months because I came down here to train. I probably want to see her for a little bit longer as well. So like, she supports me in a way that allows me to make these selfish decisions and not for me feel bad or have any doubts, because I'm just, yeah, I'm training. I've got my goals, and I'm just enjoying my life, and yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's always hard to balance stuff like that. Like, I think a lot of climbers really struggle to have partners who don't necessarily climb. You're one of the few people I know who does. And it's just finding the right person who will understand your craziness and why you dedicate so much of your life to something so arbitrary as climbing. Like, it doesn't really make sense to a lot of people. So, yeah, I think it's quite rare to find someone who isn't in the same boat as you but completely understands your dedication to it.
Yeah, I agree as well. But I think it's a good, for me, I enjoy having someone who is not involved in the same thing as me, as when I'm with them or with her even, it's just a nice little break. And you know what I mean? It's a break from climbing, isn't it?
I was just laughing at the with them bit. I don't think she's going to be too pleased about that.
No, I didn't mean that. Scratch that. Edit that out now. No, but you know what I mean? Like, I enjoy having the diversity of that. I can just
keeps you grounded.
Go home and just, yeah. Because she doesn't know what, like, the training is. Like, she understands, but she's not, like, she doesn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? Well, she does, but, like, if I just go home and she's like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, she may not necessarily understand the intricacies of training and, like, how much you do and all that, but she gets a general sense that you dedicate your life to it. And that's basically all she needs to know. She's not going to be your coach, so she doesn't need to know exactly what you're doing. Just important to have the support there for you to be able to support her and her to be able to support you. And if you can do that while you're in Leeds and she's in Aberdeen, you know, it's pretty good no matter what.
Crazy, isn't it? Madness.
Madness.
Madness. Magnus Mitpo. We need to get him on the podcast one day.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, he can bring his millions of viewers over to us. Realize
one day
we're climbing harder.
Yep.
Yeah, bro. Up and comers. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Like, we've got it all to come. We've barely started, really. If you think about it, like, we've done some impressive things, but none of, like, neither of us have reached our goals yet or our potential indoor competition climbing or outdoor climbing. Like, we've still got so much to do, and, like, we just need the opportunity. Like, literally, if we book a trip to Magic Wood or Font or whatever, like, I think we'd tear it up. Like, I have no doubt in my mind it would be pretty big and we would send some hard stuff and get recognised. It's just finding the time to do that and the opportunity to do that away from training and paying for it all. So yeah, it's pretty exciting. They just need to figure that out. Need to win the lottery and then
we need to enter the lottery first.
Yeah, I'll just win it real quick, Max.
No, but I know what you mean. Like, we're still teenagers. We're, like, so young still. And we have, like, not just our, just an entire life to live, and all these, like, so much stuff is just going to happen and unfold, and it's going to be cool to just be, just ride the wave and see, make it happen and see what happens.
Yeah, cool. Bro. Ride the wave.
And I like that, you know, like.
Sick. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Just let it happen. Like, it's all there for us. Like, there's nothing really in our way. We don't have anything stopping us. Just need to keep doing what we're doing. Big shit's gonna happen.
Big shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Competition this next year, hopefully, as well. Like, that's gonna be sick.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm so looking forward to that. I feel like I've, this year, I haven't really left my comfort zone at all, just because I've been inside, you know, and, like, all national competitions and stuff, I just want to be in a position where I'm not in total control again. I quite like that, like, in a competition where anything could happen. You've got all the worry, you've got all the doubt. Like, that's what it's all about. Just, yeah, living that and overcoming that and seeing what's going to happen, taking risks with that. Yeah, I've missed that a lot when I've got nothing to do at home. Like, everything's so standard and safe, just doing my daily routine, nothing really changes. I know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Miss not knowing what's going to happen a little bit.
The stress what comes with, like, not like, not a bad stress, but it's just stress in your body, stress in your mind. It's good. It makes you adapt and, like, learn and really, what you said, get out of your comfort zone. And that's, it's just, you get so much, I feel like we get so much enjoyment out of that. And our human brains are, like, designed to how deal with stressful situations with our bodies. Like, when we were, like, if you look back to when we were, like, always hunting for food and stuff, and we don't do that anymore, so we're just always, like, so much of the population just, like, have their little job, they sit in an office and stuff, and they're not in these stressful situations for the body, so, and the pressure is just all online and stuff, and I don't think our body is caught up to that. So
something I've thought about a lot is, yeah, obviously in the past we were constantly on edge, we're constantly firing, there was stimulus, we were having to hunt for food all day, we're having to look out for predators. Now we've got the easiest life. Everyone pretty much in Britain has the easiest threat-free life. Like, we don't have to worry about anything. Like, water comes from the tap, food is in the shop, no one's hunting you. So we have to make our own stress. Like, even if there's a stimulus that seems completely stupid to be worrying about, like, we still worry about it because we have to. Like, humans naturally have to respond to stimuli like that. And now, in the absence of such extreme stimuli, we get so, like, caught up and stressed about these tiny insignificant things just because we got all that stress built up in us that we have to let out somehow. We have to use it. Humans are programmed to respond to stimuli and to be worried about stuff because that's how we survive. So even when it isn't a matter of life and death necessarily now, we still find ourselves getting caught up in evolution that we should have outgrown in modern society, but we obviously haven't.
Yeah, and I feel with us doing sport and being high level helps because we're making that stress and stimulus ourselves, but it just helps with our decision making, our energy. Like, we can be more clear minded and not be so stressed out about all these little things, as we can work off that. Like, when you feel stressed and stuff, and or you have something on your mind and you go climbing or you go hit the gym or whatever, you just, like, get that relief and you're like, oh, you don't have any more new information about that situation, but you just feel like it's not so bad. And
yeah, we're using up that energy that's usually used on worrying about shit that doesn't matter. Like, so yeah, it's basically us being more natural and tiring us out to a point that we don't even have the energy to worry about unimportant stuff, that everyone else gets caught up when they have a easy life just doing the same thing over and over a day, over and over again and each day. So yeah, I think that's pretty important, even if it's not comfortable to put yourself in the situations we do. And in the moment, it feels sometimes pretty horrible, like, to be worrying about all these things, like, to be pushing yourself so hard in training, but in the grand scheme of things, you're going to be worrying no matter what, so you may as well make it about something you have total control over.
Yeah, for sure, man. I agree.
And as you said earlier, I do love being in these high-pressure situations. I've one very clear memory of an EYC last year, a Boulder one, and like there was massive queues and for all the blocks it was scramble format, so 8 blocks you had like how long, 2 hours to do them all, whatever. There's all Europe's best climbers there, and there was like 20 minutes left, and I had 3 blocks left to do. One was, well, two were pretty easy, and one was really hard. Only a couple of people have done it, and basically, you had to do all the blocks to make finals. And I knew if I fell off any of these climbs, that would be it. That would be my competition over. I wouldn't make finals because there wasn't enough time to have more than one go on each of them. And I just remember waiting in the queue, just thinking, I love this so much. This is what it's all about. This very moment here is why I compete. Like, that's it. This moment is what I flew out to Portugal for. Like, this high pressure situation where only I control what happens. And yeah, I've flashed those 3 blocks and made finals. So yeah, that's. Yeah, I love it, even though sometimes it is horrible and you're worrying about it so much beforehand. When you're actually there, it's kind of what we've been programmed to do and what we just naturally like are attracted to.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, it's so mad, isn't it? Like, I've had them experiences as well, like at Quiff in the only competition this year, basically. There was a yellow slab and I had like 10 minutes left and there was a massive queue. And if I did it this go, I would make semis. And if I didn't, I wouldn't have made semis. And I wasn't even thinking about that, but I was like, okay, I need to do this. And I did the block and I was so close not to doing it. And like people were like getting their fingernails behind the volume and like pulling on with their fingernails instead of using the volume. And I just cut my fingernails the day before, so I couldn't even do that. And I was trying to like get my fingernails behind it. I couldn't do it because they were too short. And I was like, oh, fuck it. And I just did it the way it was properly done. And it was so sketch. And I like almost fell off the match. And looking back on it, I was like putting up my scorecard in. And I was like, wow, if I didn't do that block, I wouldn't have been in semis. And it's mad to think, isn't it? And it
Yeah.
just.
That brings back so many memories that I've had, like at World Championships in, I think it was just qualification. Like I topped all 4 boulders, but the last one, I did it with like 2 seconds left and it was the last move and barely anyone had done it. Like I think I would still have made semis, but not in such a high
High
position.
position.
Yeah, and I just, last move. It was like I just fell into some thumb catches and I like came out from the wall so far and pulled it back in, and just that moment, like I'm smiling about it so much now because that's what I love, and that is worth all the times when you don't have that feeling, when you competition goes badly or all those struggles in training. It's worth it just for those little things that you remember. You don't remember the hard training sessions. Like, you completely forget about that. It's nice to enjoy it in the present, but the stuff that you can recall and can make you happy at any time you think about it are those circumstances when you've come close to not making it and you've been so in the zone, like so completely focused on this one boulder or this one move, and then you finally do it, like just as the buzzer goes for the end of the round. And you're just there, and everyone's watching, and you're holding the top hold with both hands. And yeah, that is what it's all about for me, as much as anything. There's those feelings that are pretty rare outside of competition where you've put yourself in such a vulnerable position where anything could happen. Like, you don't experience that through living comfortably.
Mate, I've got sweaty palms right now, you know, just thinking about that. Oh, it's so sick. But then again, it's like you remember them, like competitions, and you also, what do you prefer? The ones where, like that, they're so close, or the ones where, for me, like at World Champs qualifications, I almost flashed all the blocks, and it was pretty clear out in front. Then you know when you do. Like you're in that flow state and it goes so well, like, then you kind of just, it's that satisfaction, you kind of feel it, like, in your chest, like, you're just, it's like pride, kind of, you're just like, yeah, that was easy, I did what I needed to do, there was no fucking about, I just went out and did it with ease. That's also, I think, just as satisfying as well. Or maybe, is it just as satisfying? I don't know. It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very different. I find it harder to remember those because when you're in the flow state, it feels like there's nothing else. And I don't know if this is a normal thing, but when I'm in a position like that, I often don't remember how it felt. Like, you're so in the zone, you're not even feeling anymore, you're just on instinct. And it's like, pretty hard to remember.
I swear it's like Israel and Asana.
Well, not this one again.
Israel and Asana, he described this flow state as entering God mode. It's like you're playing a game and you hit this achievement where you feel, or where, like, you hit this, you turn on this mode and you just feel unstoppable. And I feel like we relate to that so, like, I feel like I've been in them positions, and you do feel like you're on God mode, and you're just, like, unstoppable, and there's nothing going to stop you, and you're not even thinking, you're just doing, and it's like, you see the block, and you just, there's no doubt, you just look at it, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to match the top hold, and yeah.
And what makes a champion is the ability to flick that switch on demand.
Yeah, and it's getting better, isn't it? And
it's so good. Yeah, I just want to go back and compete now. I feel so much stronger. I don't think anyone else is training like we are, and I can say that pretty confidently. Like, I find it very hard to believe anyone's training as hard or smart as we are. I don't think many people can push themselves like us. I just want to go and show what we've been doing, what all this work is for, and just, see how it's all going to play out.
Mm-hmm. And we've just got such a good routine as well, which I don't think a lot of people don't have such a highly thought out plan to each day. And when, like, we get up at the same time every day, we do the morning routine, we go get up, have breakfast, do what we need to do, and just do our training as well. And it's kind of, you know, when you get muscle memory for climbing and doing this move, like, you're working this move,
yeah,
and it just becomes so easy. Like, I feel like having routines can help you just enter that in life. So you're just getting up and you're just going with the motions in some parts of, yeah, and you're just getting up and doing it, like, and it's,
yeah, that's something I wanted to ask you about, because that's something you've spoken about a lot, is your routine and your ability to, you know, get into that state where you're just not questioning what you're doing, you know exactly what's happening, and translating that into competition, so you feel comfortable even in situations where you're not at home, like, you've got a competition, but you're doing the same routine as you do every day, and it just helps you calm down. But I was thinking, if you overdo that, if you get to a position where you're reliant on that routine, do you lose the ability to adapt to circumstances that you couldn't predict? Like, I know you have, like, a shower every night. If you get to a hotel for a competition and the shower's not working for whatever reason, like, is that going to throw you off and mess with your head too much because you're in such a strong routine that, yeah, you can't adapt to the current?
Yeah, I feel like if you let your routines fall into your rituals, so having rituals, like, I used to have rituals, and then I thought they're just bullshit, and all it actually is fear. And if you think, oh, I need to, I used to do that, I used to always put on my right climbing shoe before my left, because in the 5-on-5 off, I did that, and I topped all the boulders. And then this in semis, I put on the left shoe, and on the left shoe boulder, I didn't top it or whatever. And then that kind of got in my head, and I was like, oh, okay, I need to put on my right shoe before every climb. And that was just fear. I was scared if I put on the left shoe, I wasn't going to do it. And that's not, that's just fear in your own ability. And I was like, okay, that's bullshit. I'm not scared. I'll put on my left shoe and I'll go and do that boulder just to make sure that, like, it's just lies. Just like having lucky boxers or whatever. It's a garment. It's not going to bring you luck. It's a piece of clothing. And I kind of made that clear to myself, and I took, I don't really have much shorts, and I wanted a new pair, I didn't want to buy some, so I just went, and my PE teacher gave me shorts from the Lost Property. I don't know whose shorts these are. They could have, if you believed it, you could be like, oh, it could have some bad voodoo or whatever. But I was like, nah, fuck that, I'm just going to wear these shorts. It could have been some, like, and I'm wearing them right now. I'm
Michael Johnson's old shorts, I think.
Imagine, some absolute beast. But it was from Tari, so it's probably not some absolute beast. But you know what I mean? Like, it's important not to let these routines turn into rituals. And for me, it sometimes has happened recently where I wasn't going to have a shower, because I usually have a cold shower every night, just to, I feel like it helps so much and helps with me fall asleep. And I was just being a bit lazy, and I got quite late, and I didn't want to turn on the shower and disturb people. But then I was like, then I kind of felt this anxiety in my body, and I was like, but I need to have that shower, because I want to sleep the best I can so I can recover better from my training today. And then I was like, fuck, okay, I'm just going to go do it. And I feel like that feeling was a bit different from feeling like, oh, I'm not going to, like, if I put on my left shoe, I'm going to not perform as good, because it was me feeling like I hadn't used my time effectively, and I should have been able to do that routine easily, but I was just being a bit lazy that day. And that's what filled me with that anxiety, I feel, because last night, I went to the shops, I cleaned the toilet, I cleaned the bathroom, so I didn't have as much time as I usually do to do, like, my 2 hours of stretching, and then I did, like, an hour or a little bit more, and I felt that fire in my, like, body, and I felt, like, anxiety a bit, and I was like, fuck, I didn't do as much as I could of myself. But then again, I was like, I don't think everyone else is doing as much stretching as I am, so I don't need to be so hard on myself, I don't think, sometimes.
Yeah, well, something I picked up on there, which I was thinking, which fits into this nice, is when you said you have a cold shower because you sleep better after it and you can recover more. Like, I've read some stuff about sleep and the importance of it, and I know that to improve sleep quality and to sleep better and easier, it's way more effective to have, like, a hot shower before you go to bed, because you vasodilate and then your core body temperature drops, which is necessary for sleep. So it's more the fact that you've convinced yourself that this ritual is effective, like with your shoes, like your right shoe goes on first. Yeah, it's tricking yourself into thinking that the cold shower is going to make you sleep better, when just because, like, biologically maybe it doesn't, that doesn't mean it isn't as effective. But it's being able to free yourself from the expectation of it if something goes wrong, like if you put your left shoe on first. Having the awareness to tell yourself that it's, whilst, yeah, it may psychologically help, there's no real reason why it should help. So
Yeah, for sure.
Going with the flow. As Bruce Lee once said, being
going
water.
With the flow.
Yeah.
Being cold water or hot water.
Depends what you want, I guess.
Yeah. And I feel like having the cold showers as well. I start off with hot, and then I go to cold, because it's just an extra mental toughness as well. Because I don't actually want to have a cold shower, because it's not really that enjoyable. But it's just, yeah, I feel like it's a little extra thing, which you feel better after doing it as well. You're like, oh, I don't want to turn the shower really cold, because it's shit. But when you do it, you're like, oh, that was good. I didn't enjoy it, but it's a little extra win, which I enjoy.
Yeah, for sure.
And we were speaking about rituals and stuff and the placebo. And I think one of the biggest placebos in the world is religion.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Like, having this faith or belief that God or whatever you believe in and that some higher power is allowing you to perform could be a massive confidence. Well, it is a massive confidence boost, isn't it, if you believe that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the most elite level athletes, I would say a very, very high proportion of them are religious. And whilst, yeah, it's very easy to argue that's because whatever their god is looking out for them, it's also, I think, way more likely that it's because they have that internalized notion that something is looking out for them and it's going to go their way because that's God's plan. Like, and if you believe that, if you truly believe that in your core, that some all-powerful being is looking out for you individually, then yeah, of course, you're going to have more confidence in yourself and you're going to think that it's all going to work out. Like, that kind of goes without saying, which explains why religion is so important in producing these top athletes, but it isn't a necessity. Like, there's plenty of examples as well where it isn't as prominent, but in those individual cases, the athlete just needs to understand what religion teaches, but without all the extra messages. They just need to understand that it's in their control and, like, they can do well and have that confidence in themselves without having it from an external source. And I think that's way more powerful because it frees you from any external ties of having to please God or any of that. You're just doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for any exterior motive.
Yeah, for sure. It just adds more confidence to your ability, I guess. And it's crazy to think, isn't it? Like, I find it mad.
Yeah, and you were telling me that you're going to read the Bible, didn't you, cover to cover, just to understand.
Well, I'm just, yeah, I think I'm going to go read the First Testament, not the second. That's a bit crazy, I've heard. But, yeah, just, like, there's good stories in there as well. Like, Samson, David and Goliath, all these stories which you can interpret, even if you're not religious like myself, as positive messages, because there's going to be mass majority of the stuff which I will just look at and be like, hold on, what the fuck? But, yeah, like, if you can take the stories where, like, David and Goliath, for example, the giant against the little dude, and not, like, count out the underdog, basically. Like, you can just look at things and, like, properly learn from it and be like, oh, that's a good message. Like, treat people the same or whatever. But then again, I just want to do it. And because I have discussions with some of my religious friends, and then I'm just like, okay, I'll just read the Bible so I can understand their point of view as well. Because I just feel like being open-minded and knowing both sides of things is just better.
But when you read it, you also have to remember that it was written in a time where they didn't understand a lot. Like with David and Goliath, I sent you a video before explaining what's happened under analysis of the situation. Like, Goliath was described to be some, I think he was like 7 foot, and he had to be escorted down from the mountain to fight this little farmer guy. And he was like seeing double. There was loads of stuff where he said, like, that David had sticks with him instead of stick, because that's all symptoms of a condition called acromegaly, which is where all the tallest people in the world basically they don't stop growing, and it gives you big problems with vision, so you have to have someone escort you down to fight. And yeah, it was more. Well, he's less of an underdog than you see. Like, of David with his slingshot, who was shooting rocks at him from way above him, was obviously going to win that fight. There's no way that this lumbering giant could beat someone from far off. I mean, if it was hand-to-hand combat, of course he would have crushed him. But his understanding as well that, whilst, yeah, the story may have this exterior message, when you look deeper, there's always going to be another perspective, and with new evidence and new science, it may not necessarily be as moral or I don't know how to say that. It may, yeah, it, just need to look at it with an open mind and not just look at the exterior motives and what it's saying, because.
It's not so black and white, like this is right and that is wrong. Like, there's so much things what people overlook, and actually they just look at these stories and believe them and think what the writing in the Bible is just the be all and end all, where you can actually look at it and try and break it down and actually decide which is truth and which is not, I think.
Yeah, but as you were saying, reading it, I think you uncover a lot about humans, because it is, in my opinion, something that's written by humans, and it's one of the most revealing things about society is that, and people in general, and people in sport, is that we're always looking for something bigger than ourselves and forgetting that we are here, like we are the most important thing. We don't need something greater than ourselves to justify our own existence.
Yeah. And just to clarify before anybody like gets offended, this is just all our own opinions, and we're not saying any of this stuff to hurt anyone or whatever,
But
just to
yeah,
make
of
it clear.
course. I'm trying to be careful with my words, because obviously I've got no idea if there's a God. Like, I don't have any proof either way, so I'm in no position to judge, but this
It's
is
quite
just
mad that I
my
have.
opinion.
I feel like it's quite mad that I have to. But I felt that I had to say that and be make it clear that we're not offending anybody. I feel like the day and age where we're at, so much people get offended by words and just things and people's opinions.
Yeah, it's very easy to feel attacked or to want to be attacked. It gives you an identity, I guess, when you're in the in a group that's being under fire. Yeah. It's outrage culture, but I think it's important for everyone to share their opinions. If they're allowed to put their opinions in the Bible, we're allowed to express our own. And I'm not being critical of it. As I said, I've got no concrete evidence either way. This is just my interpretation.
Yep.
Wow. Wow, Max.
So Hamish, do you believe in God?
Currently, I do not know.
Yeah.
If I get any evidence, if he speaks to me, or I think if he wanted, if he was real, and he wanted me to believe, I think he could make me. It's kind of up to him. If he's all powerful, I've got no evidence, so I don't know why I should, but if I did, then I
Yeah.
definitely would.
Yeah, I'm just living my life, man. And I'm enjoying it, and I'm learning lessons, and I'm trying to be the best person I can be, as well as reaching my goals, and yeah, just enjoying myself and not being a dick and harming people. And with this podcast as well, like, you at the very start of the podcast, you're like, some people might like being selfish and making decisions for yourself, but we're also doing this podcast which people can listen to and take some of our own opinions and experiences and put them into practice, or be like, oh, maybe they're wrong and this is what I could do. And yeah, so we're effectively helping some people out, I feel, which 100%. Is nice.
I think that was one of the main reasons why we started it, is to share what we've learned, so maybe we can do that a bit more. Now, like, if you had to give one piece of advice to a climber or a sports person or anyone really as to how they can get over a plateau or how to improve, if they feel like they're stuck at the same level and aren't really getting anywhere, what one thing do you think they should focus their attention on in order to, yeah, progress?
Okay, I feel it is important to take a step back and look at what you have been doing and the type of stimulus you've been applying on your body, because stimulus plus rest equals growth, which is adaptation, and that allows you to become better. So if you're just doing the same thing, like going climbing every day and going on the same grades and going about this level, which where you've plateaued at, you're not changing the stimulus and effectively breaking down your body or challenging yourself the way you need to get that adaptation, which will allow you to improve. So looking at stuff where, okay, I've been doing this a lot, I've just been climbing like 4 days a week, okay, maybe add in another day or add in a fingerboard session if you've been climbing that long enough that you're able to fingerboard, because I don't think you should start fingerboarding unless you're climbing, how hard, Hamish, do you think?
Well, I wouldn't really put a grade on it. I think fingerboarding, personally, is as safe as you make it. Like,
yeah, I agree.
Just, yeah, like, not pushing yourself at the start is very important. And yeah, obviously after, say, a year, or when you're climbing like V4 or above, I would say you could fingerboard, but do it with help. Don't just freestyle it. Don't just play around on a fingerboard, because that's when a lot of people get injured. And it's, yeah, just be sensible. It's pretty obvious not to go and try something that you can't do straight away.
Yeah, yeah. Like, if you've never done a hand off a fingerboard before, it's not wise to go and try and do one on a hang, is it?
No, you'll just break yourself.
And yeah, there's levels, there's progression, so you have to start off and build, and as you build, you improve.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, with what you were saying earlier, I would add to a little bit, I completely agree with all that, and something that I would say is to take the time to identify what you're not good at. Like, if you're climbing, say, V5 consistently, you can climb V5, V6 for the past 2 years or whatever, and you're feeling like you're stuck in this plateau where you can't improve, there's probably one or two specific areas that you're way weaker at than everything else. Like, it could be like shoulder strength or flexibility or finger strength or any of that. So just to really analyze it, ask other people, swallow your ego, say, try figure out what you're bad at. And once you've managed to do that, once you know what you can't do well, you can work on it. Because if, as Max said, if you keep doing the same thing every day, day in, day out, you can't expect to improve, really. You know, you're not going to get better if you just don't change.
Yeah, and it's like, to figure out, and you're if you feel that, oh, I don't know what my weakness is, I don't know, I feel like I'm, well, maybe don't look at your weaknesses, but when you go into a climbing wall or whatever, what are you avoiding? Are you avoiding steep overhangs? Are you avoiding slabs? Don't fall into this trap of just being comfortable, even in a sport like environment, because you can fall into just doing the same thing and being like, oh, I'm good at slabs, so I'll just keep doing slabs. But you'll make a lot of gains from going onto the steep terrain and just pulling really hard, or vice versa, if you're maybe physically strong but need to up your technical game, then
yeah, exactly.
Get on them slabs.
Working your strengths is probably not a good idea, folks, believe it or not. Working your weaknesses probably is, although it's a lot harder to do and a lot more stressful and painful. But if you really have a goal, you know, if you set yourself, you say, okay, I'm climbing V6, I want to climb V8 by the end of the year, you know, that's a target, that's a quantitative target that you can measure. But yeah, just it'll be a lot easier to embrace all of that training struggle and say figuring out what you're bad at and then putting in the work to improve. Like, the work isn't the hardest bit necessarily, it's often finding out what you need to improve. Like, I had some like bad shoulder mobility, like really not good, but I never really thought about it because I was always able to climb hard without it, and it would give me tweaks every now and then. I'd pull on muscle just because there was something tight, and I went through so many stretches just trying to figure out the one stretch that would target the exact muscle. And about a month ago, I found this one stretch where I just put my hand on top of like a cupboard or something about shoulder height and just like do a forwards bend with my hand there, and my whole shoulder went into spasm, and it was like weird. It felt so weird. And then there was just this release where some muscle that had been impinged for years on end was suddenly released, and it just was like spasming out and being weird because it didn't know what to do with itself, because it isn't, yeah, it hadn't worked for ages. It was probably so weak, whatever muscle it was in my rotator cuff or somewhere in my shoulders. So yeah, just spending the time to find out that one specific thing that's going to make a huge difference to you. Like, now I think I'm way less likely to get injured or to, you know, struggle on a climb because of mobility, just because of spending that time to find out what's wrong. Okay, I've identified it as my shoulder. What can I do about it? And I must have tried so many stretches until I came across this one, and yeah, it made all the difference.
Yeah, for sure. And then basically, we're all like avatars in a game, innit? And the more, like, the more weapons or tricks you have, which you can do on your activity, like sport or whatever, the better you're going to be. So if you're able to do the flexibility elements, the strength elements, the mind, like the, or what was I going to say, you know, like the psych elements, so having a strong head game and like being able to recover, all these different tools you could have in your, on your avatar, and then it's just going to make it more rounded, isn't it?
Yeah, I heard avocado at first, so I can't get that image out of my head.
Oh, fuck.
A little Max of the avocado stretching his rind or whatever avocados have. But yeah, no, I get that for sure. It's just unlocking new skills. It is, yeah, quite comparable with a video game with God mode as well. I like that. Yeah, we should make like a projection video game. That could be our next project. Who do you want to be?
Game.
Who do you play as? Me or Max? Big questions.
Ooh, I'd rather play as myself, mate.
That's like what we're talking about with Louis, about having the ability to switch bodies.
Bodies.
See,
that'd
what
be so
like.
Cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be mad.
It really would. It'd be interesting. Interesting experiment. Yeah, if there's any, you know, any mad scientists out there listening to this, just get in touch. We'll leave our Instagram in the description. So yeah, if you figure out how to switch bodies, we'll be interested.
Do you think that'll be possible one day?
Yeah, I think so. I think that'll be a big thing. Well, maybe not physically, but in like virtual reality, 100%.
Yeah.
That's what a video game is, really. And if you can make it so you feel everything that that character does whilst in virtual reality, that's switching bodies. At the moment, people dedicate their whole lives to video games that are on a little screen. Imagine what it's going to be like when it's basically indistinguishable from reality.
When it's basically Midnight Gospel and you just put your head in a little tube and then you become another character.
Oh yeah, it's so good, that show. And yeah, with like games and stuff at the moment, it's weird, like I never really have had a console or played any video games like that, but I know loads of people who do spend so much time there, and I don't really understand it. It's like an alternate reality, but you've got way less freedom, so you're kind of sacrificing, by entering this world, you're sacrificing freedom to move around, to do whatever you like, for having these experiences of going and fighting dragons or whatever. But that seems to me just like a symptom of someone who has a very uninteresting life.
Like, yeah, I get.
Yeah, like you wouldn't need to do that if in your real life where you do have that freedom to go and climb fucking rocks in the middle of nowhere and have all these massive experiences and feelings. I don't really see why I'd need to ever go and do that in a game. Like, it's just, yeah, just like a low definition.
Because you're in a game right now, so why waste this game playing another one?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, yeah.
But I guess it's what people enjoy doing in it as well.
Well, yeah, but I think they only enjoy it because it's distracting them from their own reality, which is probably subpar. So why would you not look to change your current situation that you're actually living in? Why would you just put yourself in this other world that isn't real and don't have total control and you're just playing as someone else when you're here, and when you're doing that, you're not changing your actual life to make it what you want?
Yeah, mad. I agree. But I do enjoy video games as well. It's nice to every so often. I don't have an Xbox anymore, but when I did when I was little, I enjoyed just playing with my mates and that. It's fun.
I'm not saying they're inherently bad.
No, everything's just good, isn't it?
Yeah, just in moderation, as with everything.
Yeah. Yeah, because doing, like everything, there's no bad or good. It's just, it's moderation, like you say, like, in that Midnight Gospel, it said there's no bad drug. There is just
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, there's different drugs, amounts which.
And it's the effect on the human that we describe as good or bad. It's not that the drug is inherently bad or good. It's just some chemicals, and it's how we react to what it does to us that determines our labeling of it.
Yeah, it's cool, man. But yeah, when you're addicted to like playing the Xbox or playing games, it can get bad. I remember when I was little, man, I was addicted to playing FIFA. I swear, I'd play that so much every day. I'd wake up, I'd be on it just trying to fucking pack players and just, yeah, I spent so much of my dad's money. When I was like proper little, like primary school, he had his credit card details in my Xbox or whatever, and I spent like £200 or more. And then he got a bank statement, and he went crazy. And I had to sell my Xbox and give him all the money. So that was quite funny.
Yeah, I think the way to get out of that is, as we've talked about, practicing presence, and that was talked about in Midnight Gospel, which was in the last episode. And for people who don't know, it's a show on Netflix by a guy called Duncan Trussell, who we both listen to stuff podcasts with. And yeah, he's a really interesting guy. And he was basically saying with the presence in the episode is the character's mum talking, and they were describing how to feel present, and they were saying if you can feel the inside of your arms and legs, not how they feel externally, but if you can feel how they feel inside your arms and legs, and if you can pay attention to what you're seeing and what you're hearing, then you're in a state of complete presence. And that's what I've been doing with my meditation recently, and even when I'm just sitting down, is putting myself in a state where I'm so inwardly focused and present that even when you're not explicitly thinking about how the insides of your legs feel, you're left in that state where you're not distracted by stuff you have no control over, like the past or the future.
Yeah, I've been doing that type of meditation before bed. Like, it's like you feel like I start off with my feet and legs, and I can just feel the energy inside them. It's weird, isn't it?
So weird. It's hard to describe. People just have to do it.
For me, it's like I kind of feel this energy inside me, which I can kind of tap into or whatever and just focus on, and you kind of just feel numb, and you're just there and not thinking about being there or like in the future or in the past, and it is just being completely present, and it's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Something I would recommend.
Yeah,
everyone try. It's got a stigma to it, but once you detach yourself from that, it's something that I think a lot of people could do with in their lives.
I think everybody can benefit from meditation. And it's not like this hippie thing which so much people think about. Like, we're not hippies, are we? Like,
no.
Most of my life I've been brought up wearing tracksuits, just going out playing football all the time. But then again, I'm a totally different person than I am then. So maybe I'm becoming a hippie, but I don't think I am.
Nah, it's not a hippie thing. It's a human thing. Like, I was listening to a podcast with some CEO, like, of a billion-dollar company, like one of the biggest sales and businessmen in the world. I can't remember his name, but yeah, and he was asked, like, what do you think his biggest reason for success is, like his biggest tool, and he said meditation. And if someone in that world, who you would associate more with Wolf of Wall Street than, you know, Buddhist monks, to be saying that and to be attributing all of his success to meditating and presence, then it's probably something you should pay attention to, even if to less of an extent than he does.
Wow, that's mad. That's super cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Being aware of your internal conditions so you can make better decisions and understand little changes, and it allows you to be more instinctive and less trapped in your own head.
That's been a good episode. I think it's about time. It's almost time to end, you think?
Yeah, about lunchtime.
It is lunchtime. What are you going to eat?
Oh, good question. I think we've got some beans. I might make like some Mexican little fry up with some beans and paprika, and I think we've got some chorizo. So yeah, put that in all in a wrap and job done with some veg. Gonna be good. What about you? I'm guessing beans on toast with spinach.
Nah, mate, I'm gonna have an Elvis.
So. Oh, disgusting. Everyone shut your ears. This is horrible.
Nah, it's so nice. If you like pancakes and bacon and maple syrup, try this then. It's toast, peanut butter, banana and bacon in a sandwich. It is so good and I love it. Protein, carbs is all you need, bruv.
Yeah, I'll try it one day, Max, but
minus the peanut butter.
Yeah, minus the peanut butter. I'll replace it with something. I don't want to die just yet.
Yeah, Hamish has a severe nut allergy, so.
Disclaimer, yeah. If that's how you want to kill me, very inconspicuous way to do it.
Maybe we shouldn't have told people that. That's how he's going to take out the competition.
I think it'll be fine. I mean, I definitely wouldn't be, but yeah, I think I'm strong enough to override it. I think I'll be all right.
Yeah, as long as you've got your EpiPen.
Nah, I'm not letting a little peanut kill me. Really, there, Max. I'm not a bitch.
It's all in your mind, mate. It's all in your mind.
Yeah, I'm just. Fuck yeah, I'll be like Wim Hof, you know? Take control of my immune system.
Just by doing some breathing.
Yeah, so yeah, on that note, thanks for listening again, and I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're excited for next week's guest, and yeah, peace out.
Peace out, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode.
Sweet. See you in a bit, Max.
See you in a bit, bruv. Bye.
Bye.
Peace.